Great. Let's come to God's Word this morning. Find a seat. And before we start, I'd like you to hold up your version of the Word of God that you have. It may be on the phone, it may be an iPad, it may be a Bible, but each one of us needs to have his or her own copy of the Word, all right? So wave it, put it up there, wave it. Yeah? Great. Wonderful. Now, have you ever seen, we were at Challenge a couple of months ago, and at this resort that we were in Mumbai, when we went near the swimming pool, there were two kinds of pools. Have you noticed that? When you go to a pool, there are two kinds of pools. Yeah. One is a very shallow one, okay, where little children like, you've got Chris's kids and all who are very tiny, 2 years, 1.5, they can wade in there. And on the other side was a deep pool. I don't know. It was 15 feet deep or something. It was very, very deep. And there, I don't know any experienced swimmers here, but good swimmers can enjoy it. And Saint Jerome shared this about the Word of God. What's the swimming pool got to do with the Word of God? He says, the Word of God is shallow enough for a child to come and drink without fear of drowning. And it's deep enough for a theologian to swim in without ever touching the bottom. Okay, let me repeat that. The Word of God that you have in your hand is shallow enough for a little child, 2 years, 3 years, to come in and drink from without fear of drowning. And it's deep enough for theologians to swim in without ever touching the bottom. Little children, 2 years. What do they understand? Well, if you sing that song, what is that? Jesus loves me. You know that song? This I know. And for the Bible tells me so. All right? So little children can understand that. No issue. They get it. Theologians are struggling with so many deep things in the Bible. When it comes to the Trinity, is it one God or three? Is it one God? But then there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's, So the same Bible can feed a little child and can take a theologian and he'll never find all the answers using his human mind. And so when we come to the Bible, there is so much deep truth in there. The other part of the Bible is this. It's like a coin. Yeah? Everybody seen a coin? You have two sides to it, heads and tails. All right? And sometimes we just focus on one side of the coin without looking at the other. And we can insist on that one side. For example, as I said earlier, there may be statements in the Bible that may seem contradictory, but they are not. Okay? And that's called a paradox. The simplest one is the Trinity. The Bible is clear. The Lord your God is one. But yet, when referring to God in the Bible, we hear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Another paradox comes where we have, are you chosen by God or is it you that makes the choice? Okay, we've got verses that speak about before the foundation of the world, God chose us. And then it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus is clearly speaking about his choosing us. And on the other side, you have, you must repent. You must come to faith. You must believe. All those who believe will be saved. So again, paradox. Then you have another paradox where it deals with faith and works. All right? Faith and works. For example, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not through works, so that no one can boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, saying our salvation is by faith. But look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, which throws things in a different light. And Matthew 6, 21 says this, where Jesus is speaking, and he says, did I get it right? Yeah. 7:21, my mistake. Okay, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So the paradox is it faith or is it doing the will? How does it match up? And so we're going to talk about this morning. So some Christians emphasize works. You've got to do this, you've got to read your Bible, you've got to pray, you've got to give, you've got to do. And there are another bunch of Christians who focus on faith. Brother, just believe. All right, it's only faith. Which one is right? Any guesses? Okay, so which one is right? Because as James rightly says, faith without works is dead. But on the other hand, he says, you know, the righteous shall live by faith. So what we can do is we can be like people who are holding a coin in the hand and looking at it. Someone's looking at it from that side and can see heads. I'm looking at it from this side and saying tails. And we can say, no, it's tails. You're saying, no, it's heads. Okay, and we break our heads and tails over that. But this morning, we're going to look at God's word and see how the balance between faith and works and how we've got to live based on that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing, wonderful word, Lord. We thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we read your word this morning, as I proclaim your word this morning, would you open our eyes and our hearts to receive your truth and to be transformed. Help us to receive the word with faith and to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our passage this morning is in Matthew chapter 7, and it's verse 24 onwards. It's a very familiar passage. It's found in the Sermon on the Mount, and it comes right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's the account of the wise and the foolish builders. Have you heard this passage about this passage before? Yeah, it's familiar. Okay? And it's really a very simple passage. We'll look at that. And what Jesus is saying is, he's from Matthew chapter 5 right to 7, he has given his longest teaching. Longest teaching. It's amazing, amazing truths are there. And profound truths. If the world just lived by the Sermon on the Mount, wow, there would be peace, there would be heaven on earth. Isn't that so? Yeah? Heaven on earth. But at the end of these brilliant words of Jesus, this is what happens. He's bringing it to a close, and he's given all these commands and all these ways to live. Just glancing at Matthew chapter 5 onwards, the Sermon on the Mount, just to refresh us on some of the things that Jesus said. You know? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. He raises the standard of sin to heavenly heights. In verse 21, it says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. But he says, but I say to you, if anyone is angry with his brother, he is worthy of judgment. Murder equivalent to being angry with his brother. You know, and he says, verse 27, he speaks about adultery. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery. He's raising the standard. You know? And then, so many other things there. He speaks about it. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and so forth. And the key ones, love your enemies. Wow, verse 44. So amazing, amazing truths about prayer, about fasting, about treasures and money and worrying. Great stuff. But then at the end of it, he's now bringing it to a close. And in verse 24, he says this, Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Okay? So, in this account, Jesus is saying that there are two men. There's a wise man and there's a foolish man. Okay, and both these men are building something, a house. And he's saying, as a result of building the house, they're building it differently. Okay, there are three things we're going to look at. Number one is he's looking at the similarities between the two men. What are the similarities? Okay, we're going to look at the similarity. The first one is, Jesus says, if anyone hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, okay, and in verse 26 he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. So Jesus is saying what is similar between the two men is both of them heard the word. Okay, turn to somebody and say, I am hearing the word. Okay, now, does that make you wise or foolish? Even the foolish man heard the words. All right? So hearing is good. It's important. All right? So that's the first thing. Both heard Christ's words. Second thing, similarities. Both built houses. Do you know you're a builder? Yeah. According to Jesus, we are builders. We are building houses. And so Jesus said, if you've heard his word, you are building something. You are a builder. And both of them built something. Look at verse 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, verse 24, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And verse 26 is, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Okay? So when you hear the words, you are building something. And we'll see what they were building. So we're building houses. The third thing is this. Both men were tested. Okay? Third similarity. Both men were tested. Now you would think the wise man, wow, he had a rosy life. You know? And sometimes we can come into the kingdom thinking that once I believe in Jesus, all my problems will go away. Is that true? You're not confident. What did Jesus promise us? In this world you will have trouble, trials. Is there anybody who wants to live a righteous life will be persecuted? You know, now, you see, we can look at the Bible and just see one side of it. Blessing, peace, prosperity, healing, all that is there, absolutely. But the other side of it is also there, okay? So both these men, listening to God's word, wonderful, but the fact is that both of them were tested. And see how they were tested. Verse 25. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Rains, streams rose, winds blew, beat against the house. Now, of course, this is a picture of the challenges that we face in life. What happened to the foolish man? Okay, the foolish man, verse 27, the rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. The same challenges were faced by both, the wise and the foolish. Okay, so let's be clear. We come to faith, but when we trust in Jesus, His Spirit in us, His Word enables us to overcome and go through the challenges of life. How many know Psalm 23? Great. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, that destination passes through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say he avoids it. He says, and you will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't say you won't have enemies. In the presence of my enemies, God is there. He will exalt us. Okay. So those were the similarities. So are we clear? So sometimes we can think, Lord, I've trusted in you. I've believed in you. Why am I sick? Why are there challenges? Why don't I have a better job or a husband or a wife Why am I having problems with my neighbors? And we can think all these things. Okay? Remember last week's message. God loves us. Yeah, just to refresh us, just in James chapter 1. Yeah, whenever we face trials, what do we need to do? James chapter 1 verses 2. He says, consider it. James chapter 1 verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So whenever we face a challenge, all you got to realize is God is making me mature. He's perfecting me. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. Okay, let's go back to the similarities between the two men. Two men, the similarities were both heard the word of God, both built houses, both houses were tested. Okay, what are the contrasts? What are the differences? The first one built his house on rock. Rock. Have you ever walked on rock? Yeah, in Bombay, where we used to live, there's a place called Bandstand. And there are these rocks there. Anybody been to Bandstand? Yeah? There are those rocks. They are so hard. I tell you, it is hard. You slip and fall there, you've got cuts. Okay, it's hard. I know, to build on rock, I can't imagine how they did that. But they dug deep till they found rock. That's what the wise man did. Must have dug deep, hit rock, and then built. Okay. The contrast. The foolish man, what did he build his house on? Sand. Anybody build a sand castle? Yeah, you go to the beach, you know, in 5 minutes you can build something. You know, but building on rock is very difficult. A sand castle, you know, any kids will build it. So one built on rock, one built on sand. Now, what does it mean to build on rock and to build on sand? We've got to look into Jesus' words, okay? What does it mean? Look at verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So when we hear God's word and do not obey it, where are we building? On sand. Okay? And verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. Now listen very carefully. Jesus is talking and referring to people who hear his words. It's not talking about the person out there who does not hear the word of God. Okay? So who's he talking about? Us. Because we are hearing the word. The people out there are not hearing the word. But we are hearing the word. And he's saying, even in our midst here today, there are two kinds of people. There's wise builders, foolish builders. Building on rock, building on sand. What determines how we are building is this. When we read the word or hear the word and obey it, we are building on rock. If we just hear the word but don't put it into practice, we are building on sand. So that the contrast. Let's look at the one more contrast. What was the result of it? And so Jesus says, when the winds blew, when the streams rose, when the rain came and beat against the house, the house built on sand, verse 27, it fell with a great crash. Right, it fell with a great crash. Whereas in verse 25 we see, when the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. So friends, this morning, we're all builders. We're in the building business. The first step is we are hearing the word of God, and that is brilliant. You have the word on your phone, a mobile, a tablet, or Bible, great. Okay? You've come here to hear the word, fantastic. But is it enough? It's not enough. There is more. Okay, what God is saying is our response now is that we need to build a house on rock. And building on rock means we've got to obey God's word. Now, each time we hear the word of God, either we read it, we hear a message, or we, you know, we listen, we read a book, as we put it into practice, we're building one brick upon another. One brick upon another. Okay? Now, some people say, it's all about faith. Remember I said that before? It's faith. We don't have to do anything. Do you know how many commands there are in the New Testament? A command is to be obeyed, right? Yeah. How many commands are there in the New Testament? Any guesses? There are 1,050 commands in the New Testament. Wow! Okay, 1,050 commands. Let's turn to Romans 12, verses 9 to 11, 21. We'll just read a few verses. Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. Got it up there? Okay. So there are 1,000, more than 1,000 commands. So can we say that it's only faith, we don't have to do anything? Can we say that? Then who are those commands for? Okay, let's look at them. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. There's a command there. We are commanded to love sincerely, hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Okay. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Just a few verses, we have over a dozen commands. All right? So let's draw things together. Faith is important. Our salvation is by faith. Okay. We are saved by faith alone. Would you agree with that? Yeah, so let's get this clear. We are not preaching a salvation by works. We're saying we are saved. Our salvation is by faith alone. In fact, it was Martin Luther who said that. He said, no, we are saved by faith alone. But the second part to that is this. The faith that saves is never alone. Do you get that? Okay, we are saved by faith alone, but if you are truly saved, works will follow. Do you get that? Okay? So once we come to know Jesus, we are saved. If you're truly saved, then we will begin to obey God, these 1,000 commands. Now, it's not a yoke over us. Okay, it's not that, oh, I've got to... Your salvation is secure. You're going to heaven. Praise God for that. Okay, but what about obeying these commands? Let me give you an example. Imagine, now, you know, when they show a movie or a book, what is one of the first things they show on the screen there? Do you know what they say? All characters are purely fictional. They are no relation to anybody living or dead or so forth. So I'm making that disclaimer now, okay? So imagine you have a couple, husband and wife, all right? And, you know, the husband is hardworking, he's working hard, he's providing for the wife, he's built the house, he's done everything, okay? But when he comes home, the wife is at home, there's no food ready, okay? The house is in a mess. The wife has gone out, and she's gone out shopping and doing everything, and she just does not show any love for her husband. Okay, now it's a fictional story, it's not true, but you can imagine. Now, does the husband love the wife? Yes, he does, he loves her. Does the wife love the husband? Doesn't look like it, yeah? Okay, now, you see, when they got married, they said, yes, I do, and love one another, and all that happened. But that commitment has to be outworked in life. Okay? So the same way, Jesus is our husband. We are the bride, he is the bridegroom. Okay? He has shown his love for us, how? By dying on the cross for us. God, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Has Jesus shown his love for you? Has Jesus shown his love for you? Yes. Do you want some more proof? No. He's shown his love for you. Now, how do we show our love for him? Let's see what Jesus says. Okay? Let's turn to John 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. Jesus says this, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. All right? Whoever has my commands and keeps them and obeys them is the one who loves me. How do we show our love for Jesus? Obeying his commands. Okay? Verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Okay? So really, what Jesus is saying is, I have died on the cross and I have loved you. Okay? How do you love me? Jesus says, you love me by obeying my teaching. Verse 24, anyone who does not love me, verse 24, he says, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So Jesus is himself putting it, dividing people into two. Those who love him, those who don't love him. He's saying, if you love me, you will obey my teaching. If you do not love me, you will not obey my teaching. Okay? John 15, verse 9 and 10. John 15, 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus saying, listen, I love you. I died on the cross. I've done everything for you. Now remain in my love. Now we may think, what does it mean, remain? He's loved me. Remain in my love. It's a nice feeling. I just put some nice music and just stay in his love. You know, like today's worship, you just want to stay in there. Those beautiful songs. Lovely. Ah, remain in my love. Is that what it is? Let's see what Jesus says. Verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And he says, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. Okay? So I think it's pretty clear that faith is important. Absolutely. That's the foundation. Without faith, we have nothing. Faith takes us to heaven. But how do we demonstrate our love for Jesus? We can't even obey him on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. But we've got to realize that, hey, you are building a house. As we obey his commands, we are telling Jesus, Jesus, I love you. We are not doing it to earn his love. He already loves us. Okay? We are doing it to show him our love. That's the difference. He loves us. His love for us is unconditional. It's not going to change. He's not going to love us more or love us less. His love is fixed. It's your love for Jesus that is variable. And that variable is if we keep his commands. Okay? Let's look at a few more verses. Okay. You know, this concept of faith and obedience is there throughout the scriptures. And many people look at it one side of the coin, faith. Or the other side, only works. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Paul, writing to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 5, says, Romans chapter 1 verse 5. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes through him. And for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. So you see the two? There's faith, and if there's true faith, there is obedience. Okay. Now, how important is it to obey God's word? You know, one day Jesus was teaching, and there was somebody there who was very sentimental. You have people like that. They say sentimental things. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 28, Luke 17, verse 28, Jesus was saying these things. A woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Okay? Luke 17, verse, maybe I've got the wrong verse, but it's okay. It's 27 and 20. And then Jesus said, he replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Okay, so here's somebody saying, "Jesus, your mother is so blessed." And what did Jesus say? "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." See, the obedience is there as well. You know, after listening to a message, have you ever heard people say, "Oh, I was so blessed"? Sorry? 11:27, yeah. Okay. Have you heard people say, "Oh, I was so blessed"? Have you said that any time? Yeah. Okay, no hands are going up, but okay. Yeah, we're so blessed. Now, if you want to be biblically accurate, if you just heard the message, you are not blessed. I'll tell you why. Okay? Look at John chapter 13, verse 17. John chapter 13, verse 17. Jesus says, "Now that you know these things," you've heard the message, yeah, wonderful. He says, "You will be blessed if you do them." Okay? So when do we get blessed after we hear a message? When we do it. Before that, you're not blessed. All right? That's Jesus speaking. Okay? So friends, let's bring these things. Now, how do we do these things? Let's summarize it. I want to once again underline, we are saved by faith alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Saved by faith alone." Okay? But say, the faith that saves is not alone. It's never alone. All right? So we are clear. We are not preaching a gospel of works. So this morning, if there's anybody here who has not yet put their faith in Jesus, you can do that. Just believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Yeah, whatever sins you committed, maybe you murdered somebody last night. Okay? You know, just say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me." Okay? I believe you died on the cross. You rose again from the dead. If you put your faith in him, your sins will be forgiven. Not only will your sins be forgiven, you have an assurance you'll go to heaven. The thief on the cross had done horrendous things. He said, "Jesus, remember me." He was there like that. When you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Wow, what an assurance. Okay, he couldn't do any good works. Faith alone. So you have that opportunity. But we are a living, how many years we don't know, long time by the grace of God, but we are living. So we have a responsibility now to love Jesus. He's loved us, and we love him by obeying his word. Now I'm going to give you a very practical thing to do. Okay. I want to encourage each one of you, we have the Bible, but to keep a journal. A journal is just a notebook. Anybody keeps a journal, put your hand up. Let me see how many. One, few people. Okay. Now I'm talking to everybody. I want to urge you. This is important. You're building your house. Okay? Now, this is what you need. Just a little notebook that you keep. I have 500-page book, 200-page book, whatever. And in that, as you read the word every day, just write out one or two verses that God is speaking to you from. Okay? We have a study called The Spec. Ask Samantha. She'll give it to you. and we can do that. All right? So, and in that, you know, anybody remembers what speck is? Yeah, but we won't get into it. It's sin to avoid, promise to claim, example to follow, command to obey, knowledge to rejoice in. Okay, simple things. Each day as you read something, like today, my reading was from Psalm 10, verse 4. Look at Psalm 10. Simple, simple truth. Psalm 10, verse 4 says this. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Okay, how do I apply that to my life? Very simple. Say, Lord, I need to seek you every day. I need to think about you every day. So just copy this verse out. It'll take you 1 minute to do that. And then you say, Lord, may I seek you every day. May I think about you through the day. You know, and spend a few minutes doing that. What have you done? You've built your house, one brick. Keep doing it. Okay? You read another verse. You know, we read earlier from Romans chapter 12. You know, it says, honor one another above yourselves. What does it mean? When you go up to somebody and you greet them, say, hi, good morning, nice to see you. You know, you're honoring somebody. You know, in our culture in India, it's let them come and say hello to me. I'm older. I'm senior. Isn't that so? Yeah. But you say, listen, I'll go and hi, nice to see you. Welcome. What are we doing? Another brick. We are building our house. Okay? So as we obey God's commands, one by one, brick upon brick, we are building the house on the rock. Okay? And I want to end by saying, you know what? Jesus also obeyed. Do you know that? He was fully man, fully God. But turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8. Got that there? Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated and so forth. Okay, this is what happened. Jesus did. Even Jesus, while he was on earth, he learned obedience. When he came as a baby, he grew in grace and knowledge and favor with God and man. If Jesus had to learn obedience, okay, what does it mean that he had to learn obedience? When he came as a man, he was untested as a man yet. And so when he faced temptations, when he faced tests, he stepped through each one and completed it. Okay? And that's the same thing for us. That's the same pathway we've got to go. Every day we'll have a chance, we'll have an opportunity. Maybe a test, maybe a temptation. To obey or not to obey. To obey or not to obey. Obedience will cost us, will be sacrificial, may be painful. It'll cost you time, money, effort. Disobedience won't be costly in that sense, but it'll cost you everything. Okay? So I want to urge each one of us. Now, simple thing of obedience. If you don't have a journal, get hold of a journal. Start writing every day. You know, we've done enough verses today. And say, Lord, what can I practice today? And as you do it, remember, you're building on rock. And then when the storms come, you'll be able to stand there and withstand the storm. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you are our wonderful God. You are our wonderful example, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word that builds us up. Thank you that in your word there's clarity, Lord. There is truth. I pray for your grace upon each one of us. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. We can't believe, we can't have faith, we can't obey. But I ask you, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would help us to obey and build our houses on the rock. Lord, we pray for each one here, for your blessing, your favor upon us. Lord, as we go out this week, Lord, may your protection be upon us. May your favor and blessing be upon us. Oh, Lord, would you all just stand? I'm going to pray a blessing over us this morning. It's from Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make me shine His face upon you and grant you peace. Lord, I pray that in everything we attempt, we would see supernatural abundance and blessing. Lord, I pray that you would use us to be salt and light everywhere we go, that we would proclaim the gospel and advance the kingdom. May your Spirit fill us and give us boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.